And it's such a pleasure to come in and have people come back off vacation and see smiles on their faces, because there's a lot of faces out there that don't, people don't have smiles. They got ugly frowns, and you can tell which side of the bed they woke up on. Neither one. They were in the floor. That's how they kind of looking in the morning. But a Christian should look different, amen? We should look different, because if you're born again, He's all over you, amen? The Spirit of God is all over you. He's in you. He wants to be all over you. Let's say it that way. Because He's on the inside, but we got a job to do. We got something to do. We got to let Him on the outside. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to do something that you won't let Him do. He's a standby. He's standing by, waiting. What are you going to do when the devil attacks? What are you going to do? He's standing by. He's ready. The power is available. But it's up to us to push the button. Flip the switch. It's called the faith switch. That Holy Ghost switch. Amen. It's on the inside. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside of you. Amen. This morning I want to share something that the Lord ministered to me back in my life when I was first seeking the Lord and looking for some direction. It's going to minister to me, and I know it's going to minister to everybody here. Or you might hear it and know somebody that needs to hear it, and you can get a CD and take it to them, amen? Or you can go preach it to them, because like Terry said, we got a lot of ministers in here. And if I could get Dr. Jim Howard and Miss Wanda to stand. Jim received his doctorate this year at Life Christian University. I don't think he'd get upset if I tell his how young he is. He's only 79. It's never too late to start. Amen. Just jump in whatever age you are. It don't matter. It doesn't matter at all. God's not looking at your ability. He's looking at your availability. When are you going to be available? Huh? When are you going to be available? I say all the time. All the time.
We're heading the other way.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's what the Word does. It keeps us young. Amen. Well, it's a blessing to have this couple with us this morning. But concerning what I'd like to share with you today, go ahead and turn over to Mark 4 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Might be a mark in your life that's going to change something or somebody else. Mark chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and get your finger and look at verses 26 and 29. And Jim might help me here. I'm trying to remember the book, but this takes me a few years back. The title of the message, we're talking about getting the Word in your heart, sowing in your heart, deposits in your heart. This is what Donald Moore shared, getting those deposits in your heart. God's there to help you, but you got to get something in your, you got to get His Word in your heart so He can help you. And then if you'll do that, He wants you to bloom where you're planted. That's the title, bloom where you're planted. That means you got to plant somewhere for to bloom, right? Amen. You just can't want to bloom everywhere, because you got to stay in the soil and pull the nutrients out to blossom. That word bloom, the definition, dictionary.com says it's a flourishing, healthy condition. It's a time or period of great beauty. You seeing a picture of that? A time or period of great beauty. Now here's my definition. Not quite as long as that. Bloom. To grow and mature wherever you may be. Wherever you may be. Whatever you're doing. I want to read Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. Jesus talking about the parable of the growing seed. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow, he himself," you don't know how. I don't understand it. That's not your part. That's God's part. Don't try to understand that part. Verse 28, "For the earth yields crops by itself." Who created the earth and the heavens? God did. First the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head, or the corn. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in that ear. It's a process. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. When the fruit's available, he wants you to get it. Amen. He don't want it to sit there and get too ripe. He wants you to have it at the right time. Keep that in your heart. Now flip over, going over to the book of John. John chapter 12. God wants you to bloom where you planted. And look at verses 24. This is talking about the fruitful grain of wheat. I want you to look at verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus said, if anyone, whoever, wherever, if anyone serves me, let him, help me now, follow me. What have we been teaching? What was my series for 7, 8 weeks? If you love me, Jesus said, what will you do? You'll keep my word. And that means you've got to follow him. He's taking you. He's trying to get you somewhere. But we got to, as a disciple, we've got to discipline ourselves to hear the shepherd's call. Amen. See, all this is for his glory today. We got to hear his call. But once we pick up the phone and get the orders, what do we do? It's time to get somewhere, the right place, and then bloom where you planted. Start, get the roots in. Follow me, Jesus said, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Yes. Honor. You have God of the universe honoring you because you do what he says. That is an honor. Amen. Amen. Ain't no man do that. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, that old song said. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Nobody. One more scripture, maybe. Romans chapter 14. We're going toward the end of the book. Think we'll make it to the book of Revelation? Maybe not today. Romans chapter 14. Concentrate on verses 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, the Apostle Paul speaking here. None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord. He's all over me. And if we die, we die unto the Lord, because he's all over me. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't nothing, because you are something. And you're not a thing, you're a somebody going somewhere to do something, because God values you. Amen? And what you value, what he values, he will protect. Amen. He'll protect you because he values you. How do you know that? Look at Jesus. He gave his best. He let his son die so that he could be that seed that would get into the ground and bloom. Jesus bloomed where he was planted. He planted himself on the cross and became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. This is a love story. This is the greatest beauty that we'll ever see. He is the rose of Sharon. Amen. He is the lily of the valley. And he's my Lord. He's my risen Savior. Amen. Now I want to give you a little testimony. I'm not sure if it'll be a little testimony. I'm not little anymore. Amen. But many, many years ago, I used to work at Food Line. I've been with GE now 10 years. We started out as Food Line on 150, but somebody came up with an idea. They wanted to change their face a little bit. They wanted to come with some new advertisements, some new stores. So as a store manager, I was a grocery manager, but you kind of get the store manager hours. I didn't get the pay, though. I couldn't figure that out. I got the hours, but I didn't get the pay. But they're not my source, right? Because God's my source. But I was submitted there, and been there probably 3 years, and they told us that there's a lot of changes coming, getting ready to hit remodeling. I've been through it because I worked for Harris Teeter 8 years, and they're constantly remodeling. And that's hard times because you got a lot of dust and stuff going on, but you still got to come in there and serve the people, put the food on the shelves. And they told us, you know, it's going to be a rough time, and we want to know who wants to go through this, who wants to go through the fire, who wants to go through this remodel, this total transition. So I had to make a decision. And there was an offering there. It was going to be more money, but a little more hours too. It was actually going to be salary instead of hourly. And so I was praying. Me and my wife were praying because you got a family, you've got priorities. And so I went to the Lord. I didn't want to put my confidence in man and laid it before his feet. But thank God, underneath Brother Howard, Jim, we were just coming into Spirit of Faith Ministries, and I was serving the Lord. I wanted to do what I knew I could do. And Jim, we met at Bojangles. That's where one of his favorite meeting places, business meetings, is Bojangles there off of 29. And because I told him I was wanting to serve the Lord, and he gave me an open door of opportunity to be an usher at the church. But he brought a little book with him. And I'm wanting to think that book was called a book called Ministry of Helps by Buddy Bell. I'm thinking it's what it was. So I took that book and I read that book. And there's only one book that's the main book. But I had already been reading this. But then there's other books that you'll come across that are tools to help you get to where you need to be. And, you know, you read, you study, and you're seeking and you're asking because you want to answer the call, the shepherd's call. But then you got all these other voices. What do the kids want? What does mom want? How's vacations going to work? All these factors. But you've got to come to a place to where you just got to trust the Lord. Amen. You just got to trust the Lord. And that's what I did. And as I was reading through that book, just like when you read through the Bible here, you'll read and then all of a sudden something will jump out of the page. That's called a rhema word. That's called God speaking something to you that's alive right now at this moment. If you'll act upon it, you'll see the benefits of it now. It's a rhema word, right on time. And as I was reading through that book, I come across that bloom where you planted. Bloom where you planted. I started praying about that. And I was saying, well, the Lord's telling me wherever I'm at, stay here, grow here, mature here, get some roots down right here and just let Him grow me there. So I got with Sherry and we prayed. I said, I feel like this is the Lord speaking to this right now. And if it ain't Him, I'll pay the consequences. We'll go do something else. This walk is called the walk of faith. Amen. Amen. When you hear God, you just got to believe that's what I heard. And you'll have some peace in there, but it's not the devil's voice. It's a peaceful voice. I ain't talking about looking at the circumstances because the circumstances didn't look like peace. I'm talking about an inward witness that said, this has got to be God. Bloom where I'm planted. And you'll hear it. It's not in here. It's in here. So through this process, they brought in, we went through all this training. They were bringing guys in, teaching us how to, this new brand that we were going to display for Food Line. Man, we're going to be one of these markets. We're going to have computers. When you come in, you punch in your recipes, and they'll tell you how to cook the hamburger. All these new technology was coming in. So we got to be excited to get the other people excited, right? So yeah, through that, I heard they gave me a good little teaching about training your people. Tell, show, do, review. Tell them what you want them to do. Show them how to do it. Do it. And then review. Do it again. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And hearing by the word of God. And then you do it. James says, go do it. See, that's tell, show, do, review. So that was right up my... I was hearing the word. I said, that's a pretty good concept to get to the people. But also at that time, I heard the Lord speak to me as I was training people. He said, God never points the finger at you. He'll point the way. And see, I was building relationships with people that we wouldn't have to go through this fire, through this remodel. And then come the time to where we were being, you had a new supervisor that was going to come in. I'm trying to remember what they were. He was a district manager. You got your manager at the store, and then you got the districts that come around and check on you. You know, sometimes you'll get some that's good, but sometimes they just walk around, you know, and really don't look at you. They look at if you're doing everything right. He was the kind of hard one to really just build a relationship with. But he would interview each one of the department heads to see if this is the guy that's supposed to be here to represent this brand. So I had to go do the whole resume thing again. I'm like, well, Lord, I laid my cards before him. I said, Lord, I'm praying, I'm believing. If this is where you're going to have me to be, I'll have favor. I'll go in here because you got me to this place. I came from a hard place to get there and got there at Food Lion. And that's another testimony for another day. But I went in there. He came in with his briefcase. I came in with my little notepad. I knew what I was going to do, but he came in with his brief pad. It was kind of like a movie. This is kind of like James Bond. Just the atmosphere. It's like, because it's so, we can't tell anybody about what's going to happen. Because this is all going to hit the media at a certain time because they just want this big brand to hit without nobody knowing. So we got to keep everything under the cover. So he pulls out his briefcase and he's going to let me know a little bit about my job and my job description and then the name that we're going to give to our particular store because they name different Food Lion stores different names. Now this is not happening now. They went back to regular Food Lion, but I think maybe some names are still out there. But as he pulled out his briefcase and he gave me this letterhead and he gave me one because he was going to show me the brand, it was a God moment because the top of that brand, this is what Food Lion, Bloom was the name of the store. This was going to be our store. Bloom, a Food Lion market. And I almost wept. You know, I didn't let him see that though. He wouldn't understand that. You know, they put all this money in this big name, and I wanted to say, Mr. Supervisor, God showed me this is where I need to be. He gave me this where he told me to bloom where I was planted. That's what I wanted to do because God was all over me there. He was all over me. See, that was a rhema word. And then God showed me. He knew this was coming. But I had, by faith, I had to go before I saw the big letterhead. Bloom. But after that, you know what I did? I planted myself right there. And it helped me get through that remodel. Through the, you wouldn't believe the pressure they put on the people there to get ready for this grand opening. And it wasn't really that big of a, I mean, it wasn't as big as what they expected. And it was tough. But God will give you a word that will take you through the storms of life. If you will plant yourself somewhere, get underneath the word, stay in the word, honor the word, honor God with your substance. That means give your finances. And he'll do special things for you. Because there's special words he'll give you at special times. He'll give you dreams, visions. Whatever he'll have to do to get you to stay somewhere or go somewhere, he doesn't push you. The shepherd calls and says, follow me. Follow me. And if you follow, you will find him. Amen? You seek him, you will find. You knock, the door will be open. He didn't say knock it down. He didn't say knock it down. Hallelujah. He didn't say knock. He said knock and let Jesus open the door. So don't go knocking at your opportunities. Just knock. Go to Jesus and let him open the opportunity. Amen? That was a real hard time in our life, transitioning to that, the hours. And it was a good place, and it was the right place because God's grace, his mercy, his anointing was there. I learned a lot. I learned what I don't want to do, amen, in life. Sometimes when you're in the fire or you're in the right place, you'll learn what you don't want to do. I don't like to run cash registers. I learned I don't like that, but I had to know how to do it. Because when nobody else is there and you're in charge, you got to do what you don't like to do. Amen? Amen. And as being a Christian, there's going to be a lot of times that God's going to ask you to do something that you really don't like to do, and you're really maybe not even called to do that. But as we know, as Christians, as ministers, not everybody is answering their call. Right? Does that mean we don't answer our call? No, we want to serve God because we love Him. Amen? And we might have to have 3 or 4 telephones in our room. We might have to be answering all kinds of different calls until somebody else decides, okay, I'm going to get on board. I'm going to get on the ship. Amen? So just wherever God has you, bloom where you planted. Just stay there. Listen to the shepherd's call. And when he says go, go. And when he says stop, stop. And then let your roots get down. Let your roots get down and bloom where you planted. I know Sherry, it kind of, when you get in God's place and you start operating in God's grace, then you'll eventually get to God's place that He has for you. And it's not just one place. I mean, I'm saying a pastor, he could be a pastor here for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. There's different places in your life that God's going to need you to go and bloom where you're planted. It could be on your job. It could be in a church. But it could be different areas in the church, different offices in the church. But be faithful where He calls you there, and then let Him grow you there. Because I know when you first get born again, and like Darius, the song, God's all over you, you want to go do all these great and mighty things, but you're not ready. And God knows you're not ready. Especially if you know been serving the devil for about 30 years and you get born again, but now I'm a champion for Jesus. I'm ready to go. That's all good. You got that zeal, but you need somebody that's been doing it for 20 or 30 years. They've been there. They've had that feeling, and they've messed up. Don't do that. Get underneath somebody. Get planted underneath somebody. Learn underneath that person. Amen? And then let God promote you. Because that's the key to promotion, is not what you can do, but what God can do for you to get you promoted where you need to be. And that's the key to life. That's the key to success, is being at the right place at the right time. I call it divine connections. There's a lot of divine connections in here in my life that God has lined up for me. And just a little, I'll add to this. Yesterday, me and Kelsey, because Sherry and Rowan and Ruthie, they're in Chattanooga, Tennessee, coming back from Chattanooga. She ain't called me but one time. No, I had to call her. I would think she was missing me a little bit. I don't know what it is. I'm like, last thing I said, take your phone and call me. Call me, Terry. Call me. But I know where she's at. All I got to do, I can look up on Ruthie's phone. I can find the little comments they're making and how they're doing. But anyway, she's not the big one on the phone. If you call Sherry, pretty much you're going to catch a voicemail, because she really doesn't care for all this technology. She's old school. She really just write it down on the paper. She's always done our budget. I can show her. I got this nice little computer program. You can just input. She goes, no, I got my inputs. I got my paper and I got my pen. And that's the way she likes it. See, that's what God's called her to do. Her way. Her way, not my way. See, you can't do what I can do. You got to do what God's called you to do. Amen. And then we'll all get this thing figured out. The pieces will come together. And God will be honored, be glorified. But it's all got to be encompassed, encased in something that's called love and unity. That none of us are higher than one another. We're all on the same level. It's called the level of the cross. Amen. Because Jesus is the head. I've learned that. I don't make a good head. You don't make a good head. Jesus is the head of the church, of the body. And we are the body of Christ. So we got to take orders from Him. And those orders are not grievous. They're promises. They're commands. They're not suggestions. But they're not grievous. Now, they will be if you let your flesh dominate your spirit. They're going to be grievous. But that's what we're going to start learning here on Wednesday nights, is about your spirit, soul, and body. I'm not here to please my body or my flesh. I'm here to please God. And the only way you're going to please God is by faith. Faith. Amen. And it ain't going to feel good a lot of times. This ain't a feel-good message. You might have some that might be a feel-good message sometimes, but sometimes God's going to give us one that you're like, Lord, Is it time for me to move somewhere? Because this ain't going to feel good. A little humor. That's a little humor there. Come on, help me now. A lot of times there's going to be some messages that might not feel good at the moment, we might say. But then you walk into that room and God supernaturally shows you something to reveal, or something's manifested. You go to the doctor and you get the doctor's report and he's like, Miss Tammy, where did that? What'd you come in here for? I can't find it anymore. Whose report did you believe? We believe the report of the Lord. Well, how long do you believe? How long do you believe? Until. Amen. That's the orders. Until you see Jesus, if it takes that long, because He is the healer. It's not the pastor. It's not the doctor. The doctor can fix you up, but he does not bring the healing. It's created on the inside of you. God created your body, and He can multiply the process. It's called the Holy Ghost. He can give you that Holy Ghost injection that only He can give. Amen. And it don't hurt. It ain't like them needles. It don't hurt. It's a good feeling. Amen. We've had that feeling. We've had the Master's touch, and it's an awesome, awesome feeling. You say, well, Pastor, why ain't you looking? I ain't got no more notes over there. That's all I had. But there's more in on the inside. Amen. We all got testimonies of what God has done and is going to do in your life. But He wants you to know to bloom where you planted. I remember Mom when we pretty much lived in trailers when she got separated, got divorced. And, you know, she was a single mom raising three kids who were actually in the home then. You know, we lived in a trailer. We downsized from a house to a trailer. I had a bed. I had food. I was happy. Amen. I wasn't looking at the size. I was looking at, I am out from underneath that demonic, terrible abuse that we were under. And I was, as a kid, I didn't know Jesus, but I knew I had some freedom. I was free. But at the front of Mom's trailer, she loved roses. And she had a rose bush she planted there. And that thing, that bush got humongous. I had to weed eat. I had to mow the yard. So I know about these things. You come around there and you hit that old thorny rose bush. Mama thinks it looks good, but I didn't think it didn't feel too good at the time when I'm out there mowing and weeding. But you don't touch Mama's rose bush. Because, see, it was blooming. And it continued to multiply and multiply and multiply, and it got bigger. But you couldn't cut it because that's Mama's rose bush. There's some things you don't do, right, Reed? You don't mess with Mama's rose bush. I don't care how bad it hurts. Amen. I don't care how bad it hurts because it blesses Mama. And Mama was blessing me, providing for me. I got my first car in 1967, GTO. Anybody tell me what that stands for? Gas, tires, and oil. I didn't know that. I didn't have that understanding. Where were you at, Lewis? I needed somebody to tell me that. Only thing I know, it looked good. Mama would help me, and I could afford it. And I thought the girls might think I looked good driving it. Because, it wasn't much, but to me, it was what I wanted. And I did what I did. I scrubbed and sanded it and primed it and painted it. I didn't do it real good, but I put a good-looking cover on it. From white to candy apple red with white pinstripes. That thing was looking good. But Mom helped me get my first loan. I can't remember the bank. It was there in Mooresville. She could remember the guy's name. But Mama, she doesn't pick up on computers, but she had her little notepad. And I think I borrowed $1,000, 1967 GTO, and that was back in 1982. So it had a little bit of miles on it, amen? But it still looked good. And every time I'd work Harris Teeter and bring my money, I had to bring Mama first, keep Mama first, right? That's actually keeping God first. I wasn't saved back then, but it was a godly principle. Because you keep God first, and if you get a loan for somebody, you better go pay your note. That's being a faithful steward. And she would mind us, and I'm like, man, I'm getting... It was interest-free. That was a blessing right there. I mean, it was costing Mama some interest, but maybe she let me slide. I have to ask her about that. I'm sure it cost her interest. But I was diligently paid it off. And see, that's being faithfulness. That's God blessing me with the mom. She bloomed where she was planted. She could have ran out on us. She could have said, everybody else runs out on their kids. Their dad, he's an alcoholic. He doesn't care about them. But something on the inside made her stay. I know what it was. It was the love of God. Amen. She was answering the call that I love my family. I love my kids. Wasn't allowed to go to church until. Amen. Until God got us out. And then she got us in. I ain't saying it was the best church, but it was a church where I got the seed started getting on the inside of me. And that seed started growing. I didn't know how. I'm not supposed to know how. But I found out later, different places, friends that would encourage me, invite me to their house, feed me. Their family would feed me. And they would take time and say the blessing and bless their food, things that we didn't used to do. And all those little areas there that God blessed us, Mom hunkered down there. She bloomed where she was planted and did what she could do. And then we turned out pretty good. Not too bad. Amen. Not too bad. And Mom, she just turned 80. Just had her 80th birthday. And I can say all of her kids are still here. And I'd say they're serving the Lord. Amen. Different areas, doing different things, but they're helping other people. And to her, and that's your kids as a parent, that's worth more than money. Is to see your kids serving the Lord and doing the things that God's blessed you with. And that's what it's all about. And it won't happen unless you get somewhere, get the word, let God get something on the inside of you so that you can give to somebody else. And that's what it's about blooming where you're planted. So what are we talking about this morning? This is the conclusion. Y'all need to get happy now. It's conclusion. I might get you out a little bit early. Amen? Would that be all right? You say, what's early? See, y'all can't see the clock. See, you don't, unless you got your phone, though. So I can see the clock back here. To me, it's early. Y'all might be, well, he thought that was early. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness. Blooming where you planted, it ain't going to feel good sometimes. But be faithful. Jesus was faithful. In everything that he did, he was faithful. He was full of God's word, full of faith. And even though it didn't look good at the time, he knew this was God's will. But he said, there were some things he wanted to do, but he said, Lord, not my will, but your will. And that's what it's going to cost you. Discipleship is going to cost you. Amen. It's going to cost you what you think you want to do to what God knows that you need to do. And there's plenty of men and women here today that could testify. If you'll give up your vision right now, God's given you a vision. But if you'll help somebody else accomplish their vision, yours will come in line effortlessly. It'll just happen. You won't know how, but God does, because you've been faithful. And he said, if you're faithful over these little things, there's bigger things coming down the road. Amen? Why doesn't he show you the whole road? You mess it up. Amen? You mess it up big time, right? He's not going to show you the whole thing. He's going to show you little pieces at a time. That's what faithfulness is all about. I'm going to close in Romans right here. This is the New Living Translation. Lewis started preaching on this New Living Translation. I think he's rubbing off on me a little bit. Now I got a spirit filled. I got a New King James spirit filled, though. You ain't going to get this one from me now. It's spirit filled Bible. They all spirit filled. Amen. Romans 14:8 says, if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Amen. My translation, it's a win-win situation. If you're a Christian, it's a win-win situation. You might not feel like you're winning. It might not look like you're winning. But you are. Amen. And there's some things in this life, if you think you've lost it, if you're not honoring the Lord, you haven't lost it. Maybe your children are going to see it. Maybe you're not going to see that part. You know, think about Abraham. He was looking for that city. He had a promise. He was looking for a child. He was childless. And Sarah, they were well on up in the ages. But he counted God faithful. He counted him faithful. And God counted unto him as righteousness. He didn't see it all. But we're a part of Abraham. We're part of that promise because we believe what Jesus did. See, Abraham believed. He saw a son that he hadn't seen yet. He believed. And when Sarah conceived, she conceived and had strength and had that child. You think, God, man, God's got great plans now for me and Isaac and Sarah. Man, we're a family. Man, this is the promised seed. Now, God said, take him and offer him up on. Did Abraham have a conversation with God? Did he have a powwow? Did he have a meet? Oh, God, come here. You don't know what you're doing. No. God spoke to Abraham, and he said, the Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning. Abraham rose up early in the morning, took his son. Why? Why did he do that? Because he believed. He believed, God, I didn't have him without you, but if you tell me to give him back to you now, to offer him, surely you're going to raise him back because you're faithful. You said I'm going to have seed as a sand of the seashore. So he believed that what God gave him, he was able to raise him up, even if it cost him his life. Whether we live unto the Lord or whether we die unto the Lord, we're the Lord's. Amen? But God didn't let Abraham do that because he saw Jesus. But he needed a man to speak forth and prophesy and say, no, the Lord, he will provide. The Lord, he will provide. And when he did that, when Abraham spoke that into the earth, he was speaking Jesus. And because of that, we're here today. Amen? That was just one man many years ago. How many we got in this room today? At least 20, 30 that can speak the same words of faith. We might not see it in this generation, but our grandchildren, great-grandchildren might. So speak it anyway, by faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today. Lord, this encouraged me. I thank you, Lord, that we can look back on our past victories, Lord, and get strength from things that, Lord, are set before us now. So, Father, I just thank you right now for this message that, Lord, we'll, wherever we are in our life right now, Lord, that we'll just settle. Lord, you settle us right now. Lord, Holy Spirit, just settle us right now. If there's any uneasiness or unsettledness, Lord, we're just going to get before you and stay before you. And we know, just like Terry said, Lord, we're going to hear the shepherd. We're going to hear that call. And we've answered that call, Lord. Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord. Send us where you need us to go. Lord, here we are. Show us how we can grow. Lord, here we are asking for your ability to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we thank you for that anointing, Lord, for the power to go and be a witness, to be a faithful witness, to be the men and women mightily that you have seen ahead and anointed to go and stand before kings and say, we will not bow, we will not bend, we will serve the Lord, and him only will we serve. We will not bow to unbelief. We will not bow to ungodliness, Lord, because we bow to Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for in these latter days, you'll fill us with boldness, like Peter said. Lord, we pray for boldness, that when we stand, we won't have to think about what we're going to say, because you'll fill our mouths and we will speak and declare your word before the people, before the world, Lord. We'll be your witnesses. And I thank you for that anointing upon each of your people here today, Lord, to go out and be the mighty vessels that you've called us to be, and give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.